tan, so here you go. Well, if you got your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of John, chapter 17. John, chapter 17. I've studied John 17, and particularly in one verse that I thought I was going to be preaching out of or teaching out of tonight. In verse 17, Christ, praying to the Father, said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And I got to thinking about how powerful the word of God is, and how important it is in our lives and in this world that we live in today. And Brother Randy, I got thinking about you when you was up here teaching about that Hubble telescope and about how far out that man's been able to see in the outer space. And, you know, I got thinking about when God created the heavens and the earth, and He just hung it out on nothing. I mean, everything is just in perfect order the way God has placed it. And, my mind can't comprehend it. I mean, it's our mind is limited to the majesty and works of God. I just have to go back to Genesis 1 and 1 and read that where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And that's about as far as my mind can comprehend. God did it, and He gave us His Word. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible as God gave him all these things from the beginning of time there. And the Bible is an amazing book. You ought to thank God tonight that you've got the Word of God. Amen. This is the greatest book that's ever been written. It's the most important book. And I appreciate you bringing your children to church out here on Wednesday night to get them taught the Word of God. It's so important that they be grounded in the Word of God and in the faith of God, that they grow the faith that God has planted within them. And, we live in a day when people put more emphasis on a ball game or different things for their kids. And, you know, the Word of God is the most important thing that you can get into them while they at your house, under your roof, and you're raising them. It's very important that they are raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that they know God's Word and what God expects out of their life. This Bible right here is so important. It tells us that there's a heaven and there's a hell, and we're going to wind up in one of those two places one of these days. We're not going to stay here in this old world forever. And it's important that people know what God says in this Word. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." And I'm glad that I'm glad one day there was an old man of God. Listen, I'd been to church when I was a child. I knew there was a God. I knew that there was a Jesus, but I didn't know Him. But I thank God that through the preaching of the Word of God and the Word of God coming to me and convicting me of my sins, showing me I was lost, and by the mercies and grace of God, a wretch like me could hear the gospel, and the Holy Ghost of God could draw me with cords of love and save me when I cried out to Him. And that's the most important thing in anybody's life, that they know who Jesus is, they know where they're going at the end of this life. Amen. It's wonderful. Thank God for His Word. And I thank God for the Word, how it works in our lives today. God wants us to grow in grace, and He wants us to grow in the knowledge, of Him. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." This is something that you can bank on right here. Amen. Now, you can pick up a book. You can go to the bookstore and pick you up all kind of books on religion, friend. But let me tell you something. You can't beat this old King James Bible right here. This Bible, friend, it'll stand when the world is burnt to a cinder, friend. The Word of God is going to stand. Now, man is... the devil's got a lot of deceivers in the world today. He's got a lot of false teachers in the world today. Be careful what you read. You ought to know this Bible right here. It's all right to read what somebody's written. I thank God He's given a lot of men knowledge and insight into the Word of God, and we can read and be taught by them. But let me tell you something, it won't take the place of you getting alone in the Word of God, praying and asking God to give you light of the Scriptures, friend. And know, hey, when you read somebody else's writing, you can say amen, or you can say, oh, I don't believe that. Amen. Be careful, be careful. The Bible is so important. I got a little encyclopedic topical index here in my Bible right here. The Word of God, the things that it's called and things that it does in our life. Listen to these things right here. It's called the Book of the Law. It's called the Law of the Lord. It's called the Holy Scriptures. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Word of Life. And it's descriptive of the Old Testament law. It's descriptive of God's revealed plan, of God's completed revelation. It is Christ's message. It is the gospel of Christ. Hey, it says also in the book of Psalms that it's pure, that it's restraining, that it's perfect, it's sure, it is truth, it's enduring, it's effectual, it sanctifies us, it's inspired, it's living. In Hebrews chapter number 4, it's alive, this book right here, it's a living Word of God. Hey, we ought to love it and we ought to live by it. It's compared to a lamp. Jeremiah said it's like a fire burning down in my bones. Hey, it's like a hammer. It's the seed that's sowed. It's a sword that cuts. Hey, it can heal. It can make you free. It'll illuminate things. It'll bear witness. It'll produce faith. It'll make you wise. It can exhort you. It can cause rejoicing of the heart. It was used to create the world, to regenerate sinners. And one day it'll be used to destroy this world. Amen. God spoke it in, and one of these days He'll speak it out. Amen. Well, listen to me. Listen, our attitude toward the Word of God, we ought to stand in awe of the Word of God. Isaiah says we ought to tremble at the Word of God. We ought to speak it faithfully. We ought to search it diligently. We ought to speak boldly of it. We ought to preach it. We ought to receive it. We ought to glorify the Word. We ought to teach the Word. We ought to obey the Word and handle the Word accurately. That means that we ought to be studied up and know what the Word of God says and apply it rightly in our life. In the believer's life, it is a restraint. It is a guide. It's a source of joy. Have you ever been reading the Word of God and realize that the Holy Ghost gets on you? You realize you're a child of God and what He's promised us in the Word of God. No matter what storm is coming your way in life, friend, you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory because God has given His Word to you and me, and we can bank on it, we can stand on it, and we can rejoice in it. It's to be our standard of conduct. It's a source of new life. It's spiritual food for us to grow by. Boy, it ought to be preached in man's wisdom or prohibited of preaching in man's wisdom, not to be used deceitfully, and it's not to be altered from the way God wrote it. It's a powerful book, a powerful Word, and we need it. Amen? We need the Word of God, and there's no substitute for it in our life. We need God's Word. Well, I'm glad the Word of God leads us to salvation. Amen. I'm glad that you brought your kids. I'm glad these teachers to take these little kids downstairs and teach them the Word of God. I remember when I was just a child at times going to Sunday school and somebody giving their time and dedication to study and to try to instill God into my heart and in my life. Make me realize that we belong to God. We're His sheep, people of His pasture, and He's created us. Now, I want to move on to something else now, quickly, about this chapter number 17 in the Bible. I got straddled two messages here today. I studied about the Word of God. But now I want you to notice, there's something really, God really showed me something in this chapter number 17 right here. This is a prayer that Christ prays right here that's recorded in the Word of God. Now, we know that at one time when Christ was teaching His disciples to pray, He spoke words to them, teaching them how to pray. And we recognize that, or most people recognize that, as the Lord's Prayer. But it's not really the Lord's Prayer. It's a disciple's prayer. Why is it not the Lord's Prayer? Because He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Christ had no debts. Christ had no sin. He was teaching His disciples that they need to be right with God. And you and I the same. But this right here, it's a prayer that Christ prays just before He goes to the cross. Just before He's to be betrayed and arrested and go to be crucified. It's a great prayer that He's praying right here. And it's amazing to me that God has allowed us to listen in to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as He prays in this passage of Scripture right here. It's an amazing thing. Christ was a man of prayer. You know, if the Son of God thought it was important to pray, how much more important is it for you and I to be praying people? Amen. Amen. We ought to examine our prayer life and see where we stand in the sight of God in our praying. Christ prayed. Christ is praying today for you and me. The Holy Ghost is interceding for you and I. Hey, let me ask you this. Are you doing any intercessory prayer? Think about it. Have you prayed today? Have you had any kind of burden today to call upon God, to seek His face, to ask help for ourselves or for someone else? Let me ask you something right here. Christ said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, a lot of times when we go to pray, we pray for various things. Might be some kind of physical ailment that we have. We're quick to pray about that. Might be something to do with our job or our finances or some other material thing in life. Let me ask you a very important question tonight. When is the last time that you prayed to God to make you more sanctified, to make you more holy, to make you closer to Him? When's the last time you prayed and was able to say, God, I ask You to take my life some way, God, use me for Your honor and Your glory? Christ, in the praying that He prays right here, that's what He's interested in. Spiritual things. Spiritual things. Most of the time when we pray for physical or material or worldly things. Think about it. It's good to pray for others. God expects it of us. But then when we pray for ourselves, we ought to examine our relationship to God and our service to God and ask Him, just examine yourself. What does God think about us, I wonder, when we look at our service to Him? Wonder what He would say. We're going to stand before Him one day and give an account. It'd do us good to examine ourselves on this side and get right. But notice some things right here. Jesus deals with some things here about His preeminence in this prayer right here. God lets us see that Christ was before this world was ever even spoken into existence, that Christ was with God. He speaks about His performance. He's going to the cross to obtain eternal life for all those that would believe. And the petitions right here. He prays for Himself in these first 5 verses. He prays for His disciples, verse 6 through 19. And then verse 20 through 26, He prays for all future believers, for the church. He's not praying for the world, but for those that believe and trust Him and are His children. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven. Said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Now, the Bible teaches us clearly in John 6 and 44 that no man can come to Christ except the Father that sent Him into this world draw Him. You ought to thank God that He drew you with cords of love and by the Holy Ghost. Do you remember where you was at when you was lost and undone without Christ? I wasn't looking for God, but thank God He come a-looking for me. Hey, with conviction, listen, I was a miserable wretch. A wretch. The person that I was, I can't imagine why God would choose to save me. But He did. And I'm a debtor to God's grace. I'll always be a debtor to God's grace. Because He came to me and He gave me to the Son for salvation. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee. Listen to this now. The only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. He declares right here that He is the Son of God, and there is only one God. God the Father. Hey, in heaven today, friend, let me tell you, there's a lot of folks who are worshiping different gods in this old world today. But there's only one way, one true God, and only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I've glorified Thee on the earth. Listen to this. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. What about your work? Jesus was able to make the statement. He was going to the cross. Nothing was going to deter Christ from the cross. The Bible says He set His face like a flint toward Jerusalem, and that's where He was headed to pay a debt that you and I owe, to give His life a ransom for the whole world that would believe on Him. He said, I've finished the work that Thou gavest me to do. Have you finished your work today? Are you working for Christ? Listen, you hear what I'm saying? Christ didn't save you to sit on a stool and do nothing. Amen? He expects us to be up and about our Father's business. He expects us to be a bright and shining light in a dark and dreadful world that we live in today. I finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Wonder when we stand before God one day and where our works are judged. Wonder if God will be able to say, well done. But all the failures where we failed in doing His will, I wonder what He'll have to say. Because we're going to stand there. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Christ was going to die, be buried, raised the third day, ascend back to the Father. And the glory that He once had, He's sitting in it today. He said, I've manifested Thy name. Now He begins to pray for His disciples. He said, I've manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. Notice, Christ declares in this prayer as He prays for His disciples, that they were believers. They believed the teachings of Christ. They saw the miracles of Christ. They heard the preaching of Christ. They heard Christ declare that He was the Son of God. And they believed. Secondly, they received, He says up here in verse 8. They have received them. And they have obeyed the words that Christ had taught them. He says, Thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. How are we doing with keeping God's word? Big responsibility on Christians to keep the word of God. He says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. They were believers. They'd received Christ. They heard the words that Christ taught. They were obedient. And they were growing. They were growing. The Word of God, the teachings of Christ, as they began to follow Christ and they forsook all and followed Him, it was a pattern of growth to them. Christ was teaching them and raising them up that after He had died and on the cross and ascends back to the Father, somebody's going to have to carry the gospel. Somebody's going to have to carry the gospel in our day. Amen? Somebody's going to have to sacrifice some things and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and His cause. You know, these little children, I can't get them off my mind that it's so important. Somebody's got to sacrifice and study and pray and teach them. Somebody's got to preach to them. And it's so important that we take up our cross daily and follow Him and do our duty. He said, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. I wonder if we're honoring the name of Christ. He's glorified in us, magnified in our life, shining through us to a lost and dying world. He says, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Christ is so concerned about His children. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, Judas didn't lose his salvation. He never had salvation. He was a betrayer of Christ. And, you know, there's a lot of people that'll go to church on Sunday, but they don't know Him. Never been born again. He said that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Christ is interested in our lives. He's interested in our service. He's interested in us as children of God being happy. You know, if we're a child of God, we've got something that no trouble, no trial, no circumstances in life can take away from us. And trouble's going to come our way. Hardships is going to come our way. But Christ says there is a joy that's full of glory and unspeakable for a child of God that will look to Him and yield to Him in everything in life. He said, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This world is not a friend to Christ. Amen? The world doesn't like Christians. Amen? In other words, why would they be taking the Ten Commandments off the courthouse walls? Why is there a movement to get In God We Trust taken off a curse? There's people that hate God. There's people that hate Christians. But Christ is reminding you and I to stay faithful. The world has hated Christ. The world will hate us because we are not of this world. We're just passing through, headed to a better country. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil. Listen, there's many snares, many devices that the devil has to get into our lives. And Paul made a statement about a man, it really stuck out in my mind. It was a man that went with Paul, that followed Paul, that was a companion of the Apostle Paul. But Paul makes a statement about this man. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You better be careful. This world has got a great lure to it. The devil's going to give you every opportunity to take off after the world. You know, I heard on the news that there was a lottery jackpot of $1.5 billion. And, you know, that's something that people are drawn to. Lust. Lust for money. But what would you do with $1.5 billion? I mean, you're talking about creating a mess. I can't handle $100. Hey, man. If I get $100, $200 in my pocket, I go looking for something to buy. Usually buy something I don't even need. What in the world would anybody do with $1.5 billion? I guarantee you one thing. It wouldn't draw you toward God. It'd sure pull you away. God said if we'd seek Him first, that He'd supply all our needs. And I trust His Word that He'll do just exactly what He says. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Praying for His disciples. God, make them holy through Thy Word. God, help separate them from this world through Thy Word. You know, if you get weak in your Christian life, if you get weak in your prayer life, if you get weak in studying the Word of God, then you're moving in the wrong direction. God wants us to be drawn closer and closer and closer to Him. As I sent them into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified. Listen, Jesus honored the Father's will. He came into this world, lived sinless, was tempted in all points like as us, yet without sin. He sanctified Himself to serve you and me by going to Calvary's cross and paying our sin debt. He was able to do that because He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Is it too much to ask that we would sanctify ourselves through the Word of God and serve Him? I mean, He just saved us from hell. He just gone back to prepare a place for us and gave us the promise that He'd come again one day and receive us unto Himself. Is it too much to ask that we'd serve Him as we journey through this life and put His will somewhere first in our lives? His prayer changes now. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He looks into the future now. I see me and you in this part of this prayer. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Thank God for these disciples that were faithful, gave their lives. Through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, they penned down these words of the gospel that you and I could know the truth. He said that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in me, I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Listen, I in them, Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Listen, God's interested in unity. He's speaking about the church right here. Unity in the church. He says right here that I in them and Thou in me. Can't get any closer than that, can you? The church ought to be a great place of unity. No divisions. No bickering. No backbiting. No finger pointing. Amen? Fellowship is what he's speaking about right here. We need fellowship. We need each other. Christ is teaching us right here that we need each other. As much as we need God in our lives right here, he's telling us that as he's placed us in the body that we need the fellowship. And this is where we get it right here with each other. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, it is Christ's will that we be with him. But we're alive here in this old world right now. How can I be with him? Christ said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst. This is a great place right here to get with Christ. To get in the fellowship of the Christians and the people of his church. Those that are born again, blood bought, heaven bound. And we as the children of God, we ought to love the church. As Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. This is a precious place. The fellowship of the saints, the gathering of the people of God, gathered together in worship around the Word of God and the preaching of the Word and the singing and the praying. The things of God ought to excite us as a child of God. It ought to be precious in our lives. We ought to be hunting an excuse to get to church, not to get out of church. Amen. I don't know. God saved me a long, long time ago. And the love of the church came along with salvation to me. That's something you'll get at church you ain't going to get out yonder in this world. Amen. You ain't going to get it out there. I thank God that Jesus is praying for me today. I thank God that the Holy Ghost is interceding for me today. And you. We need Him. And He wants us to need Him. Amen? He wants us to serve Him. We're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill. God wants us to shine. He wants us to serve. When Christ was in the world, He declared Himself to be the light of the world. But now He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And now we're the light of the world. And we ought to be serving Him with everything that's within us. Letting our light shine. I appreciate you being here tonight. I hope the Word of God tonight has found a resting place in your heart. And I hope it's challenged you.